Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and today is Sunday. And this program is entitled Sunday Word, the last days for, like in the days of Noah. You know, time is filled with swift transition, and it is winding up to its end, even as we speak right now. Jesus is returning. These are the last days. We must be ready for his return, but until then, making our relationship with the Savior sound is of the utmost importance. Don't be fooled by imitations or substitutes or anyone else calling himself the Christ. There is only one way to the Father, and it is through Jesus and through him alone. It's not through any other name. Only the name of Jesus has been given under heaven, and it's the only name whereby men must be saved. These are the last days. Get ready. Amen. Like in the days of Noah, amen, is our subject matter. The last days for, this is our fourth installment of this series on the last days. And today we're going to do a lot of reading, and it's mostly going to be just that, because I have found that many just don't read Scripture at all and are unaware of those things that are written in Scripture, except that it were in the form of a story. Like, many people are very familiar with the stories in the Bible, and then those are actually historical facts, not just bedtime stories. But many are familiar with those, but they are not familiar with the writings of the Word of God. They've not read it for them or even heard it, because many are not attending churches. But today I thought it important, while doing this on the last days and this subject matter, like in the days of Noah, especially having seen the movie Noah that came out, I was pretty disappointed in it myself because it was not biblically based. But I thought it important, and then to go back to Scripture just and read exactly what Scripture has to say about that. And I'd actually like to start this with the words of Christ when he actually said, like in the days of Noah. And that, so we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 24. I hope you have your Bibles. Verses 36 through 39, and it's relatively short, and it's just where I want to begin. And then we're going to go to Genesis and read about the life of Noah, at least in part. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39 from the New King James Version. But of that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So what Jesus is telling us here is that it will be business as usual on the day that he returns. Still be marrying and giving in marriage. Business will still be carrying on. People will still be going, you know, the hustle and bustle of their day will still be continuing. And yet the Lord will enter into the earth realm, and people will be unaware of his entrance because they were not watching, because they were not waiting, because they were not preparing, because they were not getting ready. Noah did preach, amen, to the people of his time, but they were in an instance that's very different from ours. And yes, we've not seen the return of Christ. Well, I guess it is the same for us as well, because we've not seen Christ in the earth, not in our generation. But in the day of Noah, the Lord told Noah that it's going to rain. And he gave him instructions to build an ark because it was going to rain. And he was warning the people all around him that it's going to rain. You better get ready. It's going to rain. And they laughed at him and they mocked him because they had never seen rain before. So because they never seen it before, they never heard of it before, they never felt it before, they thought it was not real and that Noah had lost his mind. And so it is the same in this day and age when we are telling people, you better get ready, Jesus is returning. You better get ready, time is winding up. You better get ready, it's going to rain down fire. You better get ready, prepare. This is the time of preparation. So people now think that we are crazy. They think that we are insane, too emotional, too religious. But this is not religion, as many count religion to be. This is a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, and he has given us warning that we actually feel and we understand, and we can even almost touch, amen, this warning is so palpable. And so that is the reason for this series, The Last Days, amen. And we're in the fourth installment, as I said, like in the days of Noah. So this is what the Lord was saying. No one knows the day or the hour. So it behooves us to be ready at all times, on every day and in every hour. And that's the reason for these readings, is so that we can get ready and be ready for the Lord's coming. Because that time is upon us. Genesis chapter 7, verse 24. I know this is a long reading, so please bear with me and just listen to the reading of the word. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah was 500 years old when he began his ministry. So those of you out there that feel like you're too old to start, amen, today is the day. Let's get moving. Glory to God. Noah was 500 years old. Surely God could use us at the ages we are now. If he can use a man that was 500, amen, to bring forth his will. Glory to God. Now it came to pass, chapter 6, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Remember that. My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they were born children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. The Lord had given us instructions as to how we ought to live in the earth, and Noah was following those instructions. He found grace in the eyes of God. He found unmerited favor because he had turned his heart to God, amen, and not away from him. There's many instances throughout Scripture where the Lord has taken his people and corrected them from time to time to turn them back to the way of life that is of abundance. Jesus said he came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. The only way to an abundant life, to a really truly prosperous life, to really truly living, is a life through Christ. Amen. And the Lord has, every time that mankind has turned away from him, amen, and he uses Israel so many times as that example, every time they had turned away, he would correct them, and many times through an enemy, he would correct them. They would end up going into bondage, and no, he didn't cause the bondage. The sin caused the bondage. Sin always causes bondage, just so that you know, amen. So he would use those means to turn them back. So they would finally turn back, and the Lord would redeem them from their enemy. But in this instance, the Lord, and man, he did not make a mistake in making man, but man was not doing what they were intended to do. We were not living according to our purpose. Be in relationship with God. He is our creator. We were always intended to be in relationship with him. He created us for this very reason, for a relationship. Relationship with each other and relationship with him, not religion. Relationship is not the same thing. Religion is those things that we do consistently, constantly. And matter of fact, the word actually calls true religion taking care of the widows and the orphans is true religion. It's not just going to church on Sunday. Amen. We're talking about being in relationship with the living God, which Noah was. And he was an example of that in his time. And he was the only one in all the earth that the Lord found that was in relationship, and that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the only one. And because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, his household was saved from the flood and from the punishment that the earth had to endure, because the Lord had to cleanse the sin out of the earth. Amen. And he couldn't get the people to turn, so he had to turn the people. Oh, my God. And he let us know that we'll just continue to read the instructions that Noah received. Hallelujah. I'll go back to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. I know that sounds very familiar to you, because in the last days, men and women are seeking their own way. They're looking after themselves. There was a song back years ago that said, it's your thing, do what you want to do. And that's exactly what people are doing right now, whatever they want to do, no matter how much it hurts each other. Men and women have lost, amen, have lost the ability to see what God is saying, because the God of this world has blinded them from the glorious light of the gospel. And it's the reason that when the gospel is spoken in their ears, they get violently upset about it. Now, what in God's name, what in the name of everything that is holy, would make you upset about hearing something that would free you from bondage? And yet the enemy has fooled men and women so that they don't even understand that. And they don't even have the, I can't even think of the word right now. We don't appreciate life as we ought. I mean, we hurt one another severely and even mortally. We go about hating one another because of the color of a person's skin, because of their ethnicity, because of the way they walk or the God they worship. But the love of God is shed upon all men, and he loves it. Each and every one of us with an everlasting love, no matter what our choices in life have been, no matter what that choice is. And I, that's a very broad statement I'm making, but it's also a very true one. But that is the kind of love that everyone who is following Christ ought to show. Love without conditions, without borders, without boundaries, without limits. God loves us without limits. But he is not he's not able to tolerate the lack of holiness. And let me give you an example. Say you were married to a wonderful man, and you had a great relationship in the beginning, and you loved him with all your heart. But this man began to be abusive and violent, and you still loved him, and you tried to show him how much you loved him, and no matter what you did, he just became more and more violent. He pushed himself more and more away from you. There comes a point in time where you will have to cut off that relationship. No matter how much you love him, you will have to separate yourself from him. You'll have to separate yourself. You have no choice. It's too painful. It grieves you too much. sin grieves God like that. It grieves him when we are disobedient. It grieves him when we don't see the importance of a relationship with him, when we don't give him back that reciprocal, amen, when we don't love him back the way that he has loved us. He has sacrificed for us. He has given everything we have for us. He has given us life. Amen. The life, the breath that we have in our bodies is because God has allowed it. And when we don't give him the worship and the praise and the honor, when we don't acknowledge him, it grieves the Spirit of God. And that we need to understand that. We grieve God when we don't take the time to say thank you. He is constantly giving, constantly loving, constantly waiting for us to realign ourselves with truth. Truth was here in the beginning. Amen. When God created the earth and he placed Adam on the earth and created Eve to be his partner, truth was here in the beginning. The presence of God was with them, amen, without fail. They were communing with God in the garden. Amen. There was nothing between the relationship. It was them and God. They were wrapped about God like a three cord, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in that relationship with him. And they were enjoying the relationship. It was a joyful one. The Lord took care of their every need. But when sin came, it separated them from that relationship. There was a separation. Amen. This is what's happening in the day of Noah. There is a separation taking place. Every time death comes, there is a separation. There's a separation. Every time death comes. And the Lord said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing after their kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. Hallelujah. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it into yourself. And it shall be food for you and for them. And thus Noah did. According to all God commanded him, so he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, and a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark. because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals and of that are unclean, of birds and everything that creeps on the earth, two by two went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the foundations of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird after sort, and they went into the ark of Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Oh, hallelujah. I want to remind you, hallelujah, of the last day three that we were talking about, the 10 virgins, and how, amen, five were wise and five were foolish. And the five wise, they had brought oil, and they brought extra oil as they were waiting for the bridegroom to come to usher them into the wedding supper. The five that were foolish, they did not bring extra oil, and their oil was burning all night. Remember, we talked about their tradition, how it's always at night, and that oil lamp had to burn the entire time. And at some point, yes, they would run low on oil, and that's precisely what happened to these five wives. When they realized that they were not going to have enough oil for the journey, they asked their compatriots, hey, can you give us oil? But they could not. They said, no, I'm sorry, we can't give you any. If we give you of our oil, we won't have enough for ourselves. Oh, my God. But then they went in to the supper, and the door shut. Oh, my God, once the door is shut, it's too late. The five wives, they came back knocking on the door, and the Lord of the wedding party, he came to the door and he said, I don't know you. You can't come in. He could not allow them in. The same is true here in these historical facts in Noah. Once the Lord shut the door, the people and even other animals that were on the outside could not get in. It was too late. The door was shut. The door was shut. Amen. It's time to get ready. So the door does not shut, and you are not behind the door. I don't want to be in front of a closed door and unable to get in. Amen. But that's what we're talking about today. That's the reason for going over, amen, these things that happened in that day. And I'm going to stop in these verses right here rather than reading on to through the seventh chapter, because there's a couple more verses I want you to hear. In Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Amen. Because Noah believed God and he heard the warning of God and he him and he prepared the ark. Amen. He and his family were. You have that same opportunity that God gave Noah on that day to hear the warning that is going forth, that Jesus is going to return. The door will be shut so that you cannot come in. Amen. Prepare yourself. Receive the salvation of the Lord. He is knocking right now so that you can open up and you can come in, and he will come into your spirit and up with you and lead you and guide you into all truth. He will show you how to prepare for these times that are ahead of us. Amen. The warning sound is loud in the atmosphere right now. We're watching the signs in our environment. We're watching those rumors of war, those battles going forth, those hatred of nations, nations against nations, children against their parents. We're seeing all that right now. We see a great turning away from the ways of God. We see all those things. Those are the warning signs that the Lord told us would come. Amen. Noah, it was counted unto him as righteousness because he believed God. He believed the warning, and he took heed to the warning, and he did obey God. Amen. What about you? Amen. I've got one more scripture for you. Glory to God, and then we're going to pray. 2 Peter 2 and 5. Hallelujah. And I should have gotten the other. Well, it says, and did not spare the ancient world. The Lord himself did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Amen. If you do not have the Spirit of God in you, no matter how morally right and wonderful you may be, you are considered one of the ungodly. You are considered one of the disobedient. If the Spirit of God is not in you, I believe it is in Romans, it says, if you have not my Spirit, if you have not his Spirit, if you do not have his Spirit, you are not one of his. Amen. That's the word of the Lord that I'm speaking to you today. Amen. The warning is going out. Amen. These are the last days. Amen. And our day is like it was in the day of Noah. Amen. The Lord sent, amen, the angel of death to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the very reason. Because men were sleeping with men. Women were sleeping with women. Amen. Men were sleeping with other men's wives. Women were sleeping with other men's husbands. Amen. People were lying and sinning and cheating and doing all manner of sin, all manner of things that the Lord has said that we not do. Amen. And I want you to understand, I do not condemn any person. No, I do not. No matter what you have done, the Spirit of God loves you. Lord loves you with an everlasting love. No matter where your life has taken you, the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. So when I say these things, it's no condemnation. It's not to condemn you as a person. It's not to condemn your soul. It is to condemn sin, though. Amen. Because we cannot see the Lord in peace with sin in our spirit, no matter how morally right and wonderful that we are. And I know some absolutely wonderful people that do not know God. And as a matter of fact, get angry as you would not believe how angry they get when I say thank you, Jesus, in their presence. It makes them uncomfortable. It makes them not want to be in my presence, even though many of them have been really good to me. But none of that matters because the Lord has told us exactly how we ought to live in his presence. He is our creator. And of course, there should be boundaries and borders in our behavior toward our creator. There's boundaries and borders in everything, in every relationship. There's boundaries in every relationship. I have heard so many times people say there's too many rules in the church. There's too many rules everywhere. Our nation is guided by rules. Our nation is governed by a government, a president, governors, mayors. Our jobs are governed by policies and procedures. Amen. It is time for us to stop looking at foolishness as our excuse for not coming before God rightly. Amen. It's time for us to put aside, amen, the things that we have heard, the things that people have said, our hurt feelings, all those things, and come into the presence of God with a repentant heart. Amen. Repent before the Lord this morning so that you are ready in these last days. When he comes, you will be ready to join him and not join those that are considered the ungodly. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. The Lord wants to see you living. He wants to see you living abundantly. He wants to see you in his presence, faithfully worshiping. He wants to see you prospering in your life. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and then the Spirit of the Lord wants to abide inside you so that he can guide you into an abundance of life. Only your Creator knows what it is that you have need of, and only he can guide you into abundance of life. This is not living the things that you feel like that you must have, all these material things that we feel like we gotta have it. If you didn't have all these things, what would be left? Amen. We need the presence of God to keep us from these horrible things that are about to come into the earth, and so that we'll be ready when he comes. Amen. The Lord is not looking to condemn any of us. He's looking to save us. He came to save us. He came to save you. He wants you to be saved. These are the last days. And our days are just like in the days of Noah. And the Lord is going to come just like he did in the days of Noah. He's going to come when businesses are going on as usual, where restaurants are open and you smell the scent of the good food wafting in the air. He's going to come when people are walking their dogs and having conversations. He's going to come when there's a group of young men singing on the corner the praises of God. He's going to come when churches are lit up and they have their choirs of singing the glory of God. It will be business as usual when the Lord comes. Be ready. In Jesus' name, I pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, move every obstacle and every yoke and everything, Lord God, that gets in the way of our preparation. Prepare our hearts and our minds to be ready, Spirit, when you return. Oh, God, move in us, Lord God, move in the atmosphere. Change our direction, change our mind, move in us, Lord God, whatever you have to move out of our lives, move it out right now, Lord God, that we might be ready and we be right. In right standing when you come. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God keep you. God anoint you in Jesus' name. Amen.